Hey, this is Phil. Today on the podcast, I talked with Luke about his recent trip to South Asia, and we learn about the good things that are happening there, some opportunities going forward, and deeper ways we can connect with Luke. So we hope you enjoy the conversation.
Welcome to the Flipside Podcast, where we explore the underbelly of Crestview Bible. And today we have a little bit of an emergency, quick podcast that we'd like to get out. So Phil, what's going on today?
Yeah, so maybe emergency is the wrong way to alarm you, but we wanted to drop a quick episode to encourage you all, because as you know, Luke went to South Asia and now he's back, and we wanted to have time to give him space to give a quick report, and we're in the middle of the busy holiday season, and so that Luke doesn't have to explain all this 100 times,
right?
We thought we'd dig into this. So Luke, tell us about some good things that are happening in South Asia.
Yeah, one of my purposes in taking these trips every 6 months or so is to get strengthening, to get encouragement to the pastors, the leaders that are over there. And just so some people are wondering, like, what do you mean by you just go over there and train pastors? Well, we have cohorts of different pastors in different regions, about 6 or 7 pastors that are leading local churches, church plants, and things like that. And we're equipped to train them, to train their own leaders in the context of their ministry. And so they are, in the last 6 months, there's been a lot of growth. Last trip, I really encouraged them. All right, so we've taught you, Timothy has taught you some of these concepts, and it doesn't end on you. You're not a cul-de-sac for this learning. Really hammering home 2 Timothy 2:2 to them and what that means in the context of their ministry. So 2 Timothy 2:2, you know, says, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, pass on to faithful men who are able to teach others also." So we talked about that. All right, so you've heard from us, from Timothy, I, others, and so now you're teaching those to faithful men, and you're expecting those faithful men to teach others also. So how are you doing that in your churches? And we talked about that back in May. And so just kind of getting a report back from some of the pastors, and they're implementing that in their churches, some of the teachings that's happening there. So that's been great. Another aspect is, as you know, I was a leader in one of the local churches there. And when I went back in May, there was just a lack of zeal. COVID really ravished them. They couldn't meet for close to 2 years.
Right. And so I was going to back you up. Like, when most people probably know this, but when you went back in May,
yeah,
that was your first time back since you had been stateside. So it had been 18 months?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then you're there and, you know, just getting a real boots on the ground look at what all was going in. And then you're back with this body that you love dearly and lack of zeal. So
right.
Pick it up.
So coming back now this time, just hearing reports and just hearing just their zeal, it was definitely more on fire. They were ready to get back in ministry, get back into things, and taking ownership of some of the things. And so, you know, a lot of times when you take ownership, you make changes. And so when you're the former leader and you're coming back and looking at that, and you're like, "Ooh, you're doing that." And so there was a little bit of struggle on my own side, like, "Oh, I don't want you to do that." And, I was really trying to take Acts 14 seriously. So Acts 14, if you remember, Paul's going back to the churches that he had planted in his first missionary journey. And he comes back through, and it says that he appointed elders in every place. And then he says he committed them to the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. So he didn't have a whole strong grasp on, like, "Hey, I'm still going to have a hold on you." And he's like, "No, like, this is going to be yours. Like, Lord, this is going to be your church and not mine. And so committing them to you, and you're going to lead them and not me." So trying to take that to heart in my own life. All right, Lord, this is not necessarily the decisions I would make, but I'm entrusting them to you, and you've got this and not me. So, that was helpful to see.
Those choice points are probably unique to their culture, right?
Exactly.
So we're not talking, I mean, some people heresy. Might hear this and be like, "What, this guy, he's allowing this?" It's more like just procedural things.
Yeah, or, right.
You know, like applications, how they're applying certain facets of ministry that might not take place in a Western context, but that's what they're choosing to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, and you know, you, one of the other things that was encouraging to me is just being there to be a listener, right? To be a learner. Too oftentimes cross-cultural workers come in there and they just say, hey, I have all the knowledge and you need to shut up and listen to me, right? But I try to make an intentional opposite approach from that, right? Just heard a podcast this morning, actually, on...
we were just talking about this, yeah.
Yeah.
Where, off-year, which is riveting for those of you who aren't with us off-year. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's the West has everything to offer, right? And the East just has to sit there and listen and be a mouthpiece for that organization. And I try very diligently to not do that, but just say, hey, well, how can I learn from you? What are some practices in my own life that I'm missing, that I'm lacking? And just their emphasis on prayer always just smacks me in the mouth, right? I mean, it's just every moment they're saying, hey, we need to stop and pray about this. Hey, we need to, hey, we can't make another move unless we go before the Lord in this.
Now, we use that to make excuses, right? Like, well, I need a moment here, so yeah, I think I need to pray about it.
Right, or to transition,
almost
right?
Christianese, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Hey, we need to start this meeting in prayer, and it's just that's our organizational thing to do. Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it's more than that, right? There's a deep dependence there, and even just the simplicity of faith, right? That we make the Christian faith and ecclesiology way more than it needs to be, right? So just getting back to just the basics of knowing Jesus and making him known, right? It doesn't have to be anything more than that. So it's great. So my faith was strengthened. Timothy, it's always an encouragement to him. I asked him at the end of the trip, I just said, is this worth it, right? Like, I'm taking a lot of effort. Like, it's not cheap, right? And it's a taxing on my own body, like jet lag, and taxing on my family being away for 2 to 3 weeks. And I'm like, is this worth it? And he's like, dude, if only for me, like I'm alone out here, right? So he's my ministry. He's like, he's the boots on the ground there. We were partners there and now we're separated and he's a loner out there. And so he's like, man, I need you to come here to reinvest, right? Or just reinvigorate the work. And now I'm ready to go back in there. Right. So he's just like, I'm weary after 6 months, being alone out here. And so when you come, it's like, I'm put back a charge on me. So, it's great for him. He loves it. And yeah, it's encouragement for me. So those are some of the good things that's happening on the ground.
Sure. And so with the good things, there's obviously, things that you see at the, at a high level of areas that you need to give attention to. What were some of those that emerged, like challenges or opportunities, or, you know, what kind of next steps in the work were exposed?
Well, with the pandemic and just everything that happened over the 2.5 years, the funding has really gone down. One of the big unique things that we try to do, one of our distinctives in our organization, is to really be South Asian funded and not be foreign funded, at the best as we can be. And so with everything that happened in the pandemic, we just lost a lot of our funding from some of the churches and individuals. And so, and we were told by some of the churches, hey, I don't know if we can continue some of our support. And so that was kind of disheartening. Okay, so we need to work on how we're going to get some funding. What does that look like? We need to form our own trust. So like a NGO or a nonprofit status.
Yeah.
Need to form that. We were tagged along with another church and they're just saying, we don't have the capacity to do that anymore. And so navigating logistically all of that, because that's a nightmare, in a South Asian context to do that. So, we're gonna have to do that. And you know, the opportunity that presented us, even with the Thanksgiving offering, right? So Project Video, Kevin Evenson put us in touch with them. And so it's something that we're looking into, a partnership there, creating content for pastors, for church leaders, for church planters across our state in their language, in their context, with their cultural elements. So we're looking at that. And then another challenge that's put in front of us is a lot of our pastors are just what I call is persecution weary.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hesitant to talk about this because usually when people talk about persecution, it's like, woe is me, poor me. We have this, you know, horrible thing.
I had a rough drive into church today, you know, like traffic was awful.
Right.
Inflation's up and I'm being persecuted. Yeah.
Well, even from a, you know, a foreign missions context, right?
Yes, it's,
it's woe is me. You show all these horrible pictures and, you know, feel sorry for us. And, you know, and now after you feel sorry for us, we're going to ask for money. Right. but I mean, seriously, I bring this up just cause that's the report I just kept getting, from some of the pastors is they're just, especially those that are in the village context. So we're in the city, where Timothy is at and where the local church I was at is in the bigger city. But when you go into the smaller villages, pastors are having a really hard time, physical violence, to ostracize from the community, to, their buildings being torn down. And I would say they're not like, hey, we're ready to fight back. We're going to fight back the government, right? We're going to rise up, rise of the proletariat.
Yeah, right. Whatever. Yeah.
They're more just like, we know that this is going to be the case, right? That's life in following Christ. We're going to share in his sufferings, right? So we're not going to try to avoid it, but we're weary. We're tired into it. And
yeah. So early November, we had the day of prayer for the persecuted church.
Yeah.
So as we maybe were inclined to pray for this situation, what do we want to pray for those persecution weary pastors?
Endurance, patience, zeal despite the challenges, right? Just that Galatians 6, right?
Yeah.
Don't grow weary in doing good, right? So what you sow, you will also reap.
Yeah.
So they're growing weary in doing good, and they're ready to be like, some of them are just like, it would be better for me to just not be in ministry.
Yeah.
And heaven forbid we do that, right? That they have those temptations. And so just guarding from those temptations of wanting to quit, of wanting to just throw in the towel. And we're talking like, I understand that American pastors are going through that too, but this is on a deeper level than mental health. I mean, it's like, literally their families are at risk. Like no pastor in the US, their families are literally at risk of death. And those are daily challenges in the rural areas of South Asia. So that would be the top prayer request.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. So good things happening. We've seen some next steps. I know your rhythms are to try to get there a couple times a year.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking, like, in terms of the next time you plan to go there, and what are some plans around that?
Yeah, so here's the exciting thing about the next trip. We already have our tickets booked and flights already scheduled. And I say we, right? It's not just me. And the we being the seven of us, Julie, the kids, and all of us. So it'll be the first time that all of us have gone back, especially Julie and the kids. Now I want you to think about this, right? Remember back in March of 2020, we had 24 hours to leave the country, right? We were told, hey, you're on the next flight, which is leaving tomorrow at this time.
Right.
So no goodbyes, very few, just pack up, leave. There was zero closure.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
So our kids were rushed out of there and we told them, hey, we're going to be back, right? This is just going to be a temporary thing in the US until the pandemic is over, and then we can come back, we can keep visiting, you know, whatever. Well, plans changed, right? The pandemic limp dragged on, and then we got settled here. And so they never actually had that closure.
Right.
It's part of the grieving process.
Right.
So a lot of that is Julie and I have been thinking, okay, we need to get back there. And so during spring break, we're gonna take the kids out of school for a week and then use the week of spring break, and it's going to be less me work with our organization and us just being with our old friends, our old partners, our old family, right?
Yeah, right. Sure.
And just being loved on and loving on them and encouraging them. And, so I'm pretty excited for that. And it's going to be a big sacrifice, for us, as a family. So it's pretty expensive. For seven people that take a flight overseas.
To travel internationally?
Right,
what?
Yeah. So it's going to be rough, and just in terms of energy level and all of us
dragging all the luggage through customs and all that again. Yeah.
Right. And you know that South Asia is a communal culture, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you can't just like go over there and like, hey, we're all just going to like, you know, here we'd have like,
we'll be in the hotel all week. Come by when it's convenient for you.
Right. Yeah. Or like, hey, we're going to have one big barbecue and everybody come and you know, hang out at this barbecue and meet Luke and Julie. Like, no, every single one wants to invite you over for a meal, right? Yeah. And not just a meal, but it's like 4 or 5 hours in their home. And if you spend less than that, you're offensive, right? So it's like, and we're going to have 100 people saying, hey, we want to have you over for dinner. And it's like, okay, how can we have 12 nights, 12 days, that's, you know, 27 meals or whatever, I'm bad at, 36 meals. It's like, are we going to have to book every single meal, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and chai? And I mean, like, or we can have chai with you in the middle. Like, it's going to it's going to be draining for us.
Gain some weight.
For sure.
Yeah, South Asia 16.
Exactly. But, you know, just trying to create, right, what is that going to look like now for us to create that rest in there to build that in? I don't know what that's going to look like. But
the airplane. The airplane ride will be your rest.
No way.
Yeah, Luke doesn't sleep on the airplanes, so I can do that. Like I, you know, when I went there, I just slept all the way back. But
yeah,
man, you can't do that.
I can't. It's rough. Try a 16-hour flight.
Yeah,
and without
that's no
sleeping.
Bueno.
No bueno for sure.
Yeah. Well, those are great updates, and we wanted to get this episode out so that you could have the latest news and a sense of what is going on there. Obviously, because this is going public, we're trying to kind of speak in a veiled language just to protect the nature of the ongoing work. But I think most of you who are connected to us will know what we're talking about. And just lots of prayer points, too. Lots of ways that we can praise God. Lots of things to be grateful for in this season. And also just lots of opportunities ahead. So we could be praying for those things and supporting Luke. If you don't get his updates, I'd say grab him on a Sunday if you're in our body, or if you're not a part of our body, drop us an email on the website contact form, and we'll make sure that we follow up with you to get you added to those email updates. Because especially when he travels, the pictures and the updates. I mean, Andrew, you were even saying something about
the pictures are just a great way to pray and to see faces of people that you've heard of, but maybe never gotten a chance to meet.
Yeah, how it's just surreal to, hey, I just had a conversation with him, and he's
the
in another context right now.
Yeah, him standing on an Indian street with a cow in the background. And, I just talked to him like a week ago.
for sure. So, just be aware of all that, and I guess we'll see you on the flip side.